finishing off chapter 2 of Joel, carrying on from our first session. And if you look, please, at the top of your notes of page 6, top of page 6, we talked about the different rains, the early rains, the later rains, the former rains, the latter rains. And we looked at that, and we found here that God has promised a tremendous future for Israel based upon their repentance and turning to the Lord and the definite blessings that come. So if you look on your notes, there are 7 things which are going to happen to Israel in the latter days, following their repentance, coming to the Lord, and the spiritual rebirth of a remnant nation of Israel. That's where we were. Now, look at these 7 things that particularly are going to illustrate the tremendous changes as they come. And we're going to look at the references in brackets there as well, just to get the indication from Scripture. The first one is the darkness and the gloom, which is spoken of in the earlier chapter, has now gone, and the blessing of the Lord comes. Look back in chapter 2 and verse 2 is your reference. You can see that in the day of the Lord, it's a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness like the morning clouds over the mountain. Has gone, the blessing of the Lord. Instead of that gloominess and thick darkness and all the brooding and foreboding of the darkness, there now comes a brilliant light and blessing of the Lord upon the land, upon the people, and upon the animals, and the fruitfulness of the land. Second point there, the land which once mourned will become glad. Look in chapter 2 and verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things for you. Look, he said, don't be afraid, you beasts of the field. Open pastures are springing up. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion. And the spiritual rain, as well as the physical rain, has brought the blessing. See what was in chapter 1, verse 18, about the animals, and where they had no grass and no water, and they were beginning to die. Look in chapter 1, verse 8. How the beasts groan. The herds of cattle are restless. They have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer your punishment. You see in verse 19, the fire has devoured the open pastures, a flame has burned all the trees of the field. Beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and the fire has devoured the open pasture. Now it's so very different. That's what it was like, and this will be in the future. Now that the animals of the fields are not to be afraid anymore, that they have new pastures. And the fourth one, there's a barren fields and the fruits, which is back in chapter 1, verse 7, what they were like. The land is laid waste, the vine ruined, the fig tree spare filled it, and the branches are made white. And 10 to 12, the field is wasted, the land mourns, the grain is ruined. This is chapter 1, verse 10. The new wine is dried up, the oil fails, be ashamed, you farmers, well, your vine dressers, and so on. It's all perished. The vine is dried up, the fig tree withered, pomegranate tree, palm tree, apple tree. All the trees in the field are withered. That's what it was like. Now comes a complete transformation with Israel repenting. The blessing of the Lord follows in great fruitfulness of the land as well as spiritually. Now yields an abundant. Look in chapter 2, 22, we looked at everything is going to be real blessing from now on. The absence of the rain brought drought. We looked at chapter 1, 19 and 20, we looked at then. But now they yield abundantly, chapter 2, 22, and the abundant rains, which we looked at in verse 23. Former rain, the latter rain, and the threshing floors are full of wheat, and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Chapter 2, verse 24. Complete transformation. That's how it's going to be. There was no rain. Now the rain's really come. The sixth one, no grain, no rain, no wine, no oil. All fails. We looked at that before. Now there's an abundant and fullness of grain and oil. Now would you go to the next book, which is Amos, and look at the last few verses. Amos chapter 9. And I added this morning, so if you'd like to add to your notes, Amos 9, 13 to 15, Amos chapter 9, verses 13 to 15, we look at it. Amos 9, 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and Joel says the same thing, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. Let me stop there. It means there'll be so much fruitfulness, so much fruit, they won't have time to complete the gathering in of all the fruit, and it's time to sow and till the ground again. There'll be so much fruit, it'll overlap with the ploughing up of the field. There'll be so much fruit there. A ploughman should overtake the reaper. Well, they're reaping so much to come in, now it's time to put the plough in again. The treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. Mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with it. And verse 14 relates to the people of Israel. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. What that means here, they shall plant vineyards, drink wine, make gardens and eat fruit. If you go back to the Judges particularly, which we studied last, that when they planted their crops, the enemy came and it destroyed them all. So the planted trees would never have the opportunity to take fruit from them. But the vines, there's no time to get fruit from the vine, they were destroyed by the enemy. Now it says, you plant your vine, you plant your trees, they're going to grow and they will bear fruit. Now, no one's going to destroy them anymore. That's very important. Amos 9, 13 to 15. But back to your notes. Number 7, the damage done by the locusts, that's the physical ones, it absolutely just ate up every green thing in the land, which you know locusts do that. But also the demonic locusts and all the damage works. Demonic, demons, all that's now gone, now repaired. Things flow. And in your notes you can see this ruin. Israel is now repaired and restored to her God and to right living. She is renewed physically. And of course that's happening now as a preparation too. And she will be renewed spiritually. A land born in a day, a remnant, and God will be the spiritual. And you can see, going back to Joel again where we were, what the Lord says about this. It is marvelous in our eyes. It is the Lord's. The Lord has done marvelous things. He's done great things for us, as the psalmist says. That's terrific, isn't it? Now, what you've got in capital letters in the middle of page 6, the use of the prophetic past, some of it's fulfilled immediately. The use of the prophetic past tense, what God has already done in history, becomes a prophetic present, what's happening now, and the future. So the prophetic past will also have a relation to the prophetic present and future. In other words, Bible prophecy has a near fulfillment of the days when it was written and a distant fulfillment. So according to the context, it sometimes applies to an immediate future, what God is going to do immediately, and then what God is going to do finally right at the end time. So it can have a double fulfillment, double fulfillment. You've got here in the notes here the former rain, that's in the past. Now becomes the present, and the rain is caused to come down in the future. Now let me give you an example of that. Do you remember Elijah, who having had this tremendous contest on Mount Carmel between the Baal prophets and priests and the God of Israel, and Elijah was right in the middle of it. You remember that for 3.5 years there was no rain, everything's dried up, the animals again, just like this picture in Joel. The animals had no food, no grass, no water. Everything was barren. For 3.5 years, no rain. Now you know that. Now I'd like you to go, please, if you now go back to 1 Kings 18 and see what happened then, and relating it to Joel, what will happen in the future. 1 Kings 18. We know this contest. 1 Kings 18. You know the contest in Carmel very well, so we'll go into that. But in 1 Kings 18, look at the... Well, if you like the faith of Elijah. 1 Kings 18, look from verse 41. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Elijah. The drought ends. Then Elijah said to King Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rains. 3.5 years of drought and no rain. Why the change? Why the rain now? Well, the Baal gods were defeated. The Baal prophets and priests were put to death. And the people cried out, the Lord is our God. Now comes the blessing. Now comes the rains, just like Joel. Let's read on. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up onto the top of Carmel, just above Haifa today. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea, Mediterranean. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. And it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud. Small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, right, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain.
So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. In other words, he could run faster than the chariot. You can't do that without the Lord's strength, can you? But that's it. In the strength of the Lord, he ran ahead of the chariot. The rains came, judgment was over. And that's how Joel pictures the scene. The former and the latter rains, prophetically, spiritually also, as well as physical rains, will come, repentant Israel. The judgment. The Lord is going to judge and bring Israel right to its knees in discipline, but in order to save them. So the enemies were overcome and dealt with. Their religion, certainly for that time anyway, for a while, was finished. And the rain, things came. Rain is a picture of blessings. So let's go on. Look at these rains very quickly. The former rain passed, the present rains. Rain is caused to come down in the future. Blessings from the Lord. A few rainy seasons. The showers come in October and November, because it's been a long, hot summer between April and September, October. So the showers come. When they sow the seed, it germinates the seed. Then most rain comes December to February, plus snow in Jerusalem. The latter rain aids ripening of crops in March and early April. That, as I said before, is the barley harvest and the wheat harvest from about April to June, before the summer rainless season comes. Now that's meteorological facts concerning Israel. Okay, back to Joel chapter 2, and look at verses 24 to 27. This is what the result will be. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, which is what we saw in the first chapter. My great army, and there were an army, God's army of judgment, which I sent among you. Now, he says, verse 26, now you shall eat in plenty, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. He says he's done marvelous things before, now he says he's done wonderful things for you. And my people shall never be put to shame. That's a change. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. God's working, God's blessing. He's right there with them. And that I am the Lord your God, and there's no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Notice that too. Medicine, the sense of shame is removed. The Lord is there. And when it says the Lord is there, would you go to the very last verse of the last chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 48. So go back a little way, before Daniel, is Ezekiel, and go to the very last verse of Ezekiel 48, which is verse 35. This is the final blessing in the millennium. We've already had the design of the millennial temple and the division of the land for the Jewish people, the Israelis, once again. Now read the last verse of Ezekiel 48. The last part is, from that day shall be the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Where? In Jerusalem, in Israel, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, Redeemer, King of Israel, he's back. That's a promise. And he would establish his millennial reign as King of Israel. And that's what we found here in Joel. If you go back to Joel here, I am the Lord, I'm in the midst of Israel, my people should never be put to shame. That's wonderful, isn't it? The Lord is there. 27, the Lord's there. You know that. Now let's look at verses 28 to 32. We did discuss this just before we had a cover. Verses 28 to 30, let's look at them. It shall come to pass afterwards, that's after all the blessing of the Lord, and after all the judgment is finished. After all that, let's get the context right. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, you know these scriptures. Also my men servant, my maids, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. What days? Future days. Initially, there was a partial, immediate fulfillment, relatively immediate, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter quoted it. But it says here, it should come to pass afterwards, after all the judgments are finished, when Israel is going to be greatly blessed again, with the blessings of the reign of blessings, when they repent, seek the Lord, and a remnant is saved. And the nation of Israel, born spiritually in a day. After that, then the Holy Spirit is going to do a great work, even in the millennium. I will pour my spirit on all flesh. That means all Jewish flesh. In the context, Joel is a prophet to Israel, is he not? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy and so on and so on. You know that. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. What days? The latter days. At the end, after all these things Let's look at your notes again, shall we? Verses 28 to 32, just after halfway down on page 6. These verses begin a new chapter in the Hebrew Bible. It's just one continuity in our own English Bible. But in the Hebrew, these verses 28 to 32, it should come to pass afterwards, is the beginning of a new chapter in the Hebrew. That's good sense, isn't it? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be upon Jewish people following repentance and restoration. Now, let's look at the Acts of the Apostles, not just chapter 2 for the moment, but go to Acts chapter 3. Move into the New Testament now, to Acts chapter 3, and see what Peter says in this second sermon, after the day of Pentecost. Chapter 3, this is after Peter and John, in the power of the Holy Spirit, had healed the crippled man at the temple gate, chapter 3, verse 1. And you come through, and Peter takes the opportunity to preach in the area of the temple. So look in chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3 of Acts, verse 19. This is what Peter says. Repent, therefore, and be converted, be changed, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, second coming. He was saying, the Lord wants to bless you, and the Lord Jesus is coming again, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration, which is what we're looking at in Joel, the time of restoration of all things, of which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In other words, to Israel, the prophets are. So there's going to be times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit's work, isn't it? Spiritual rain, refreshing. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until, one of these lovely until words again, changes come. The times of restoration of all things that God spoke by the prophets relating to Israel. That's what Joel chapter 2 is all about. The times of restoration, time of restitution, time of refreshing for the Jewish people following their repentance and spiritual new birth. That's clear enough, isn't it? Look at verses 25 and 26 of Acts. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of earth will be blessed, that includes those Gentiles. To you first, Jewish people, Israelis, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, that was his intention, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. They will repent even when they pierce. And God, the Father, sent Jesus first. Well, we know that certainly. So all that's very important. Those verses of Joel chapter 2, go back to Joel 2 again. They begin a new chapter in Hebrew because it's a new theme. A real future for the nation and the Holy Spirit doing this. So they have a prophetic future about Acts chapter 3, as well as these verses of Joel 2, 28 to 32. So what do we have? Let's go and look at a bit of a summary here. And I'm going to turn you to Jeremiah. So let's have a look at the bit of a summary here on page 6. Two-thirds of the way down, concerning Israel in context, capital letters, in context. So important to take scripture in context, otherwise you can get pretext and go right off beam. We have three basic truths in Joel. First, God's judgment has a set limit. There's an end to it as blessing comes. Second one, God is jealous because of his sure love. Set limit of judgment, jealousy because of sure love. Thirdly, joy because of safe living. Everything's going to be right now. Plenty of fruit, water, blessing, fruitfulness of the land, blessing of the people. Joy comes to the people. That's what actually happened. I'm going to take you back to Jeremiah, a wonderful book, long book, 52 chapters. But would you go back, first of all, to Jeremiah 3? Now, would you please add these? I've added them today, if you like to, that is. Jeremiah 3. We're going to look in chapter 3 and 30 and 31 in a minute. Tremendous truths here, and they're all linked together. Jeremiah chapter 3. I'd like to look, first of all, and you can add this, please. Jeremiah 3, add to your notes if you wish to. Quite a few things in Jeremiah we're going to look at now. In chapter 3 of Jeremiah, if you'll find that, please. And look from verse 3 to 5. The showers have been withheld. There has been no latter rain. You have had a prostitute's forehead. They worshipped idols, false gods, prostituted their spiritual. You refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me, my father, your guide of my youth? Will you remain angry forever? Will you keep it to the end? In other words, God has withheld blessings, both physical and spiritual, because of their false worship. Now go down to verse 12. Same chapter, verse 12. This is what the Lord said to his prophet Jeremiah. Chapter 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north. Return, backsliding Israel, and I will not cause my anger to fall on you. For I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, our backsliding children, says the Lord. For I am married to you. Israel is God's wife of Yahweh. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, verse 16, says the Lord, that they will say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. The ark of the Lord in the tabernacle and the temple represented the presence of God. They won't need the ark anymore because he's going to be back. So don't bother to look for the ark of the Lord. You don't need any representation for the Lord. He's going to be here himself. Verse 17, this is important. At that time, in the future, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord when he's back reigning as king. And all the nations shall be gathered to it. We look at Isaiah chapter 2, chapter 4, and Micah 4 as well for that. All the nations gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. They shall walk no more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. Now go down to verse 22. Same chapter, 3 of Jeremiah. Return, you backsliding children. That's the third time. I will heal your backslidings, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. That's Baal worship up on the hilltops. The multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. How very true. For shame is devoured the labor of our fathers and our youth, their flocks, their herds, their sons and their daughters. Shame, you've sinned against the Lord. Verse 25. Now look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, 1 to 2. If you return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. Otherwise you'll go into exile. And you shall swear the Lord lives, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory, future in the millennium. Well, that relates to the judgment has a limit. Second one, jealousy because of a sure love. Now in Jeremiah, carry on, in chapter 30. Go to chapter 30. Again, all linked up together and very important. Jeremiah chapter 30. Now look in verse 8 of chapter 30 of Jeremiah. Chapter 30. It shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I raise up for them. Verse 10, therefore do not fear, my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and going to bring them back from all the nations, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, and have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, and he will, but I will correct you in justice or in measure. Let you go altogether under that. Go down to verse 15. Because of your sins increased, I have done these things to you. 16, therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured. All the nations that have devoured you, I'm going to deal with them. All your adversaries, every one then, shall go into captivity. You, those who plunder you, they shall become plundered. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her, no one helps her. Go down to verse 22, and this is very important, this little section. Verse 22. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now read on into the first. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, the continual whirlwind will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return till it is done, until it is performed the intents of his heart. That's judgment on the nations. Now look, in the latter days, you will consider it. That's the distant future. It's right at the end time. Now forget the chapter and verse division. Let's read chapter 31, verse 1, as if there was no chapter and verse. It says, in the latter days you'll consider, at the same time. Read on as if the chapter and verse weren't there. In the latter days you will consider, at the same time. What time? The latter end days. Says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. And you can read on right through to verse 14. I won't do it now. But you see all the blessings that come forth. All the blessings. The plant vines. Look in verse 4. Again I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. She's been an idolatrous false wife, which is going to return to virginity. That's impossible, but not with God. An adulterous wife is going to return to be a virgin again. God can do it. We can read all the way through there. And just finally, just one verse in Jeremiah. Go to verse 13. This is the final joys. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. It's going to be the end blessing, church. So a little bit of a summary towards the bottom part of page 6 in your notes now. Back to our notes and Joel again. Judgment upon Israel has brought repentance, regeneration, and restoration. The outpouring has come. The Holy Spirit is at work upon the regenerate and the redeemed of Israel. Here will be concerning the Jewish people. Your sons, your daughters, your old men, your young children, they shall play safely in the streets. They'll all be blessing. Now would you go to Zechariah, please, now? This is tremendous. What's going to happen in the end with the refreshing of the Lord, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon Israel? Look in Zechariah chapter 8. It's in your notes. Chapter 8, I've underlined it. Chapter 8 and the first 6 verses. What a description here. Chapter 8 of Zechariah. Last book 1. Malachi shall ask. Go back to Zechariah. Chapter 8. Wonderful verse. This is Israel in the future when the blessings, refreshing comes from the hand of the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 1. 3 through to 6. Very important. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, who is the God of armies, I am zealous or jealous for Zion. Here we are again. With great zeal, with great fervor, I am jealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, or the holy kingdom. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women, we have that in Joel and Jeremiah, shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. That means they'll be safe. No one threatening them. No one's going to kill them. In the streets of Jerusalem, each one with a staff in his hand, that's the old people, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls, freely playing in the streets. They don't do it today, do they? You know, playing in all the streets. Thus said the Lord, it is marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days. It'll also be marvellous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east, from the land of the west. I'll bring them back. They shall dwell in the midst of you. They shall be my people. I will be their God in truth and righteousness. That's future. Joel pictures this. Jeremiah pictures this. This is a future. It's wonderful, isn't it? Go back to Joel. I turn to 8th verse, the pouring out of the Spirit. Oh men, young men, it's all there. This relates to the future. Israel's remnant regenerate. Acts 2 verse 21. Those among Israel shall call upon the Lord and will be saved. In the context of Acts 2 in Jerusalem. That was only partially true what Peter preached, because the end of chapter 2 about the wonders in heaven, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke, the sun turned to darkness, the moon into blood, that is yet to come in the great tribulation period. Now I'm going to deal with that next time. All going to be in the future. Partially, Peter was speaking. He did wonder whether these terrible events would come immediately after the salvation of these 3,000 Jewish people. He didn't know how long the church age would be. He didn't know how many people would be saved. He thought, this is it. Church is formed of Jewish people. He didn't consider Gentiles. He refused to go to the house of Cornelius because it was unclean. Had no consideration. This is the salvation of Israel. This is the 3,000 that he saved. Now comes the day of the Lord's judgments. Otherwise, why should he quote these other terrible words of Joel chapter 2, 13:31? He quoted them in Acts chapter 2. About the terrible events of the great tribulation. Now Peter thought, this is the day of the Lord. Now these saved 3,000 Jews. Now the day of the Lord's coming to judge. The church age has continued for now 2,000 years. He didn't know how long it would be. But in the end, there's going to be a future blessing and enriching salvation. Restoration is coming to the nation remnant of Israel. God is a spiritual midwife. Well, at the bottom of page 6 in our notes, and we hope to complete in our 2 sessions this evening the book of the prophet Joel. So we just glance through at the end of chapter 2 of Joel. He in your notes, and we're going to chapter 3 and complete that tonight, we trust. This is a bit of an overlap from last time, because we were talking about those verses at the end of chapter 2 of Joel, where he speaks about the Holy Spirit being poured out, of course, which Peter quotes that at Pentecost from Joel chapter 2. The Holy Spirit was working there, of course, and 3,000 Jewish people were saved on that day to form the early church.